Welcome to Find the Magic, the podcast that will help you honor yourself, your kids, and your partner.
We'll give you tips and strategies to create peace and authenticity within your family.
We inhale a ridiculous amount of books and life tools and distill the information for you. I'm Terilyn Griffin.
I'm Caitlin Gabriel.
And I'm Felicia Allen. Let's find the magic together.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, this is Terilyn here, and I am going to start us out with a high five. And this high five, as you guys know, I read to my kids before bed, and we have been through lots and lots of different books, and my older girls now, sadly, don't stay in for the reading, but so it's just me and my boys. And we have been reading the series called Fable Haven by Brandon Mole, and I read it as an adult, and I loved it, but it's probably been, I don't know, 15 years. And guys, I love it so much. I mean, the downside is I'm staying up late at night. Like, I keep reading to them way longer than I expect because it's so good. But we're on my favorite of the whole series right now, which is the third one. And I'm like, it's so exciting because, like, we're getting to my favorite part right now. And I'm like, guys, my favorite part is coming. I'm so excited. And I've forgotten enough of it that it's still exciting for me. And I don't know if I've mentioned this to you guys, but anybody who's wanting to read to their children before bedtime, something that I started with my girls, and I actually got it from my friend. This idea is from my friend, so I cannot claim it. But she told me that she's like, well, when you read, have them like play with your hair or something. So it's so great. I literally sit and I read while they play with my hair. It's the best. And then at the end, you know, we'll trade and have them read and I'll play with their hair. So it's just delightful. I'm reading a book I love, getting like snuggles and like playing with my hair. And right now we're in such a good part of the book. I'm like in heaven. Seriously. Every night I'm so excited from when it's my turn to put them to bed. I'm seriously. Total high five. Well done, Brandon Mole, on writing books that I'm enjoying reading two times. So,
okay, that's awesome. Hey, I think I tried to start reading that a long, long time ago. I don't even know when. Might have been pre-adult. And when I say I didn't get into it, like, I don't even think I read more than a few pages. So I didn't probably give it a chance. But it was also at a stage in my life where I don't think I was, like, sitting and reading very much. So my point is, so I'm excited to read that now, and I think I would really love it. It sounds up my alley. I'm guessing, because I do read to Emmett at night, we're kind of more in like the magic treehouse phase, like, so you can, you know, obviously he's 4. Do you think that's a little young for him? Should I wait a couple years before I read Fable Haven to him?
I think he might. I would say I read books like that to my kids when they were around that age. I mean, but you just gauge it off of your oldest. You know, if a few chapters in, it's like, this isn't working for him, then you could switch out. But I would say, I mean, with my girls, so my boys, they were exposed to older books all the time because I was reading to the girls at the time. So I am always reading to the oldest child's level, knowing that, or even a slightly above it, because I actually took a children's literature class in college, and kids can listen to people reading to them books obviously way above their actual level. And so I actually wouldn't be afraid of it being a little bit above his level and give it a chance. And as long as he's, he can still be playing with stuff, but as long as he's not, like, you can tell, just full blown like hating it, it's a really engaging story. So I would give it a try. And I think that the younger ones always are going to be just, their brains are always going to be reaching up. And I think that's actually a huge benefit for being kids who are younger, is they're hearing books that are above their level all the time. And I think it really helps. One thing I do have to say, though, as I'm giving a review, I feel like this is an important thing to say. Because just like when you're going to watch a movie, you want to know the review of it. There are a couple things about the sibling dynamic that are really sweet. It's about a brother and a sister. And then there are other times that I don't like how they talk to each other in the book. Not all the time, but just like sometimes, like they'll call each other stupid or something. And so I actually just change the words as I read it. So I'm just going to put that out as a disclaimer that is the only thing about everything else about the book I love so much. But that aspect, sometimes I don't love how the siblings talk to each other, like the words they use. They're not the ones that I would choose for my kids. So I do modify them as I read them sometimes. So like in a book, say I might modify in one of the books, I might like 3 or 4 times just change a word as I'm reading it. So I just want to make sure I'm saying that. But yeah, I would say give it a try. It's so fun. And it's compelling enough. I've noticed Savannah, she's my 13-year-old. She's actually started coming in at night because it's getting to a really intense part. Because we do our little bedtime routine all together with all of my kids. And then the girls go and they like wash their face, brush their teeth and stuff. But Savannah lately has actually been staying in for the reading part. So
that's cute.
I don't know. Yeah. I think Emmett could really like it actually.
Is there anything that would be like, I know that you just said it would be good, but like, is there anything that's too scary or anything, or do you think it's good?
Oh, I don't know if I'm a great gauge at that, because for me, it's within the realm of mild fantasy. So it isn't like an extra scary fantasy, but there's some goblins. There's like a goblin that comes in a window. So maybe Emma's not covering that. I would actually, for that age, my favorite books are even like the summarized, say like Greek mythology, those kind of books. When Parker was that age, the Greek mythology one in particular, he would cry when I would finish reading a story, because they're short enough that that your kid can understand the whole thing in one sitting, which is really nice. Although even as I say that, actually Greek mythology was a little scary for one of my daughters at that age. It was a little too, like Medusa, she was a little too scary. So
yeah, she's a little freaky. Okay. No, that's good. You should, if you happen to have the book or remember the title of like that specific Greek mythology that you used, you should put it in the links for like the email and stuff. So, okay. Cause I want to do all of those. I do like reading. I love reading with them. I think it's like a fun, and I read with Will too, but we actually kind of do it separately. Like I read a children's book with him, like a more of a picture book. And then with Emmett, a lot of times we read, usually it's like Magic Treehouse. So it's usually a chapter book, and he does love Magic Treehouse and I do enjoy it, but it's definitely, I mean, Fablehaven seems more like my alley. So I'm just wondering like, yeah, is that okay for me to read with a 4-year-old? So I'm just trying to gauge it. So that was helpful. Okay. I love that. That makes me excited. And then for our listeners, we'll put some of these in the email. So if you guys are interested, you can look for it there. Okay. So mine is,
can you remind them how to get our email?
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes so you can actually just click on the link if you want to sign up for our email. You can also just go to our website, which is findthemagic, all one word, .co. So not .com, just .co. So if you do findthemagic.co, that's our website. And right on the front page, it'll say join the email list, and you can just put in your email. And we really try to make that email like super valuable. So like you're only going to be getting one a week and it's with the episode. And then we usually put things in there that we have come up with that we feel like is really going to add value and that has added value to our life. So we never try to over email. We make sure that it's like really useful for you guys. And we put a lot of like love into it. So if you're interested, you can sign up that way. And usually like if we talk about any sort of like articles or anything else that go with it, a lot of times we'll put them in the show notes, but if there's more than just that, you'll also find it in the email. So you have that to look forward to. Okay. So my facepalm mine is a facepalm and mine is a simple one. And that is just, this recently happened and I kind of forgot how unpleasant it is. And my thumbnail got like ripped off. It was just like something that I was doing, but I think it had like a slight chip in it and it got caught on something and then it ripped and it like ripped low enough that it bled, you know, like that low, like where it was like to the little tender part of the skin. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it was so, it hurt then. Like I didn't like it and it was bleeding. So I actually had to like put a Band-Aid on it and stuff. And then for like a solid 7 to 10 days afterwards, it just hurt. And it like made me realize how much I use my thumb, like such a tiny finger. And you use your thumb to like grasp and grip things. So like anytime I would like go to like tie a shoe anyway, it was weird because it's like you use that, you use your thumb to like grab the. It was just weird. I felt like throughout the day, it was one of those things that like I was constantly reminded that my thumb hurt. And finally, when it went away, I like noticed it. Like I was like, wow, today is the first day that it doesn't like bother me. Anyway, so that was my face palm. I more was just like, man, bless my thumbs that they just work well most of the time because it was painful. And most, probably more than painful, it was just kind of uncomfortable and annoying, really. But so that was my face palm this week.
That sounds very painful. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that was my face palm. So today we are going to be talking. We're going to do some listener question. And this is actually, it was funny because as we were talking about listener questions, it kind of morphed into this is my question because I'm kind of recently dealing with this right now. And I remember dealing with this when Emmett was 2 years old. And then it was just funny because when this happened, it was either yesterday or the day before, but I was telling Tarlynn, I'm like, I think when I was like, I don't know what, when it happened a day or two ago, I was like, oh my gosh, I kind of forgot about this. And like, how do I deal with this? So this phenomenon is something that anybody who has a 2 year old or just any little child, you have to deal with. Or you know what? What am I saying? I think you have to deal with it even with bigger kids too. What I don't know. But it's just what to do when your 2 year old starts to say no. Because like to be clear, he said no before on other things, but it's more and he's definitely like throwing tantrums about things that he doesn't want. Like that isn't necessarily new, but it's more the like matter of fact, like I think he's really realize like, oh, I can say no. And so for instance, like a day or two ago, usually he's like so sweet. Like when it's time to clean up for whatever, I'm like, okay, it's time to clean up. And he's so cute. He'll be like, oh, clean up. And he'll like sing the little cleanup song while he puts things away. And it's like so darling. And he's always been really, and I think he like finds it really fun. You know, it's been like a fun thing. And then like, I think it was 2 days ago. I was like, okay, it's time to clean up. Like, let's do it. And then he was like, no. And like, kind of like, walked away and like kept doing stuff. And I was like, wait, that's not actually like, that's not a valid response to this. So then it was like, and it was weird because I actually distinctly, I think it was like the same kind of situation when I remember it happening with Emmett too. It was like same deal. Like, I think he had always liked it. Then I said, let's time to clean it up. It was the same thing. And I remember being like, what do I do? Like, I can't force him to, but also like, I feel like it's important for him to clean up. Like he can't just make a mess and then I clean it up. Like that's not a system that I want to perpetuate. So it's just funny because I was like trying to rewind in my brain. I'm like, what did I do with Emmett? Because now I don't have that same problem with Emmett and it's a little bit different. So anyway, I was thinking about this. It's on my mind. I'm like, hey, yeah, how do I respond to this? Like, it's not like he's throwing a fit and saying no. He's just matter-of-factly saying no. Tarlynn, do you have any thoughts on this? Having had 4 children who have gone through the same phase, I know it's been a little bit of time since that phase, but do you have any thoughts on that?
But the power of no, the charge of no continues, right? It's just that first discovery of it, there's a little bit of a extra boost, but I would say that the concept continues on through all of, well, what am I saying? Not even, I mean, I find sometimes being like, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. I mean, I love this question and I love that it's your question because guys, we actually get a lot of questions that are this exact one, but it's really fun that this one that's from your voice.
Yes.
So, okay. A couple things. One, the word no is a power word. So children know from the very beginning, even if you don't even charge it with emotion, there's still a power charge in the word no. And so especially when toddlers are discovering their own power and their own autonomy, no is of course going to be a part of it. So I think the first step here is just to identify that this is completely normal. I don't know of any children who don't at some point discover, well, I can just say no. I'm just going to say no to this. And what they're doing is they're experimenting. So my mom tells me to do this. I say no. What's going to happen right now? Is she going to lose it? Is she going to like freak out? Is she going to like, what's going to happen? Is she just going to keep rolling with it and not do anything? Is she going to like take my hands and make me do something? So like a lot of things with toddlers or any children, but especially when they're discovering their own power, they're just experimenting. It's like why kids drop one of one of the reasons why they drop food off their plates, right? It's like, what's going to happen here when I do this? And then depending on what the reaction is going to change their programming about it. So just first of all, just accepting that, I think actually for a lot of parents can just help with the realization that although this is annoying, this is just part of normal development. So it kind of takes for me, anytime I do that as a parent, it actually allows me to come at it from an energy of this is okay. And then my child can feel that. Right. And I think honestly, the more I grow, the more I realize, and I love it. Janet Lansbury talks about this a lot. And a lot of my favorite parenting mentors talk about this concept that we have the words we do and we have the actions that we do and they all matter, but the underlying energy exchange is really, really important. So I like that because it just takes away the energy charge of the situation. The second thing is to validate, right? So if they're testing out their own power, you're just validating that it's a no, right? And this goes all the way through adulthood. I am respected when somebody, and when I say validate, that doesn't mean that like they don't have to do something or that you're going to let them do something that's not safe or something that goes against your limits as a parent. So that isn't what I mean by honoring the no. What I'm meaning is honoring the feeling behind the no, you know? So for example, if it's, I don't want to put on my pajamas, it's like, hey, put on your pajamas. It's like, no. What are you going to do about it? Is their next question, uh-huh. Right? What they're thinking in their mind. What are you going to do about it? Just acknowledging, you really don't want to do that, do you? Yeah, I see that you don't want to put on your pajamas. Okay. And that's actually interesting that I use that example because as I'm speaking it, then that begs the question, how important are pajamas, really?
Mm-hmm.
But the options are, and Janet Lansbury even talks about this, the options are either say, I'm still going to put on your pajamas for you and actually like start gently walking them through it. Or it's, okay, sleep in your clothes. Or another option could be, if it takes too long to put on the pajamas, then it is going to take away from our next stage, whatever that is, you know, our reading time or whatever. But it's up to you. So one of the keys with no's is to acknowledge first what they're feeling. Second of all, anytime you can offer a choice, that's where you bring in the choice. So you can do this or this. I can see you don't want to do that. Would you like to put on your pajamas yourself or do you want me to? Let's go to your example though, the cleanup example, because my kids still do that. Specifically my 7-year-old will still, like we'll be doing cleanup and I'll be like, hey, can you pick that up off the floor over there? And he'll be like, no, just not. And again, for me, it's like, no, that's not an option. We're actually cleaning up and I need you to clean up that mess. So a way that could look is, yeah, I see you don't want to do that. Yeah, I get that 100%, especially when it comes to cleanup. Like my empathy is there with them, right? I don't want to be cleaning up either, frankly, but we're doing it anyway. So mm-hmm. You can say something like, I really see you don't want to do that. And we're going to do it anyway. And then the tricky thing with cleanup, it's not for me. I've never found it helpful to be like, I'm going to take your hands and we're going to pick up a toy together like that. I tried that once with my toddlers and it didn't really work. Like you really can't force it. It isn't like other things where you can be like, I'm going to buckle you up even though you don't want to be buckled up. You know, like those are things that you still uh-huh. just gently without anger walk them through. But with a cleanup, you're not probably going to do that. So how it looks, and this is what I do with my kids now. And for the most part, I feel like it works. You say the steps. I see you don't want to do it. I totally get that 100%. I get you. And if it's true, I mean, for me, it's like, I don't either, but we're still going to do it. So then you just keep cleaning, singing the cleanup song, maybe go closer to them so that your energy with them is like, ooh, okay, now we're going to do this. And like, you actually engage them with your voice, you know, like how many dinos can we get in the basket, whatever. And then he might not actually participate though, but I am convinced with over time and with my own children, that with time they do, you know, you, mm-hmm. all you can do, you're acknowledging you are, and then you're continuing moving forward. So that's an example of, you're not offering choices because there's not a ton of choices, but you can just keep moving forward. Actually with the cleanup though, there is a choice because that's one of the keys that Janet Lansbury talks is always giving. If you can bring in a choice when they say no, it gives some of their power back because what they're wanting is power, mm-hmm. giving some power mm-hmm. back. So you could be like, Oh, yeah. I see you don't want to clean up. Would you rather start on the dinos or the books? And just see if that, like, that might just be the bypass, the little reset button for him. But then if he doesn't, then you just keep cleaning up with a positive attitude, bringing your energy to him as much as possible. And eventually he's going to start cleaning up again, right? So that's one option. The other option, well, that's one situation. Another example is, and this happens sometimes when you're going somewhere, you know, like, I don't want to, like, no, I'm not going to put on my shoes. No, I don't want to go to school, whatever. And in those situations, say if it's like, well, we're going to school today, that's what we're doing. You can just simply say, I really see you don't want to. And get from my kids what's been really powerful for me lately. And I know I'm now just diving into a whole nother scenario, but I think this is also a scenario that most parents deal with about going places when they have a no. Sometimes it is just an exertion of power, and in the moment you don't have time to do this. So it's just all you can do is, I can see you don't want to, and we're still going. Like, you just keep the momentum going, right? You keep putting on their shoes. You gently pick them up and put them in the car, whatever. So there's times for that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying with my three-year-old, if we're about to head out the door to go to something we've committed to and she says no, I'm not going to be like, okay, let me do this whole other thing right now. That is just I can see what you mean. And then you gently keep the momentum moving forward. I might pick her up and bring her to the car with me and just be okay, be unruffled about it, you know? So what I'm talking about here, though, is an underlying thing with the word no that I think is important to address. And it, you can only do it really if you have time for this. But when I have addressed it, it's been really powerful and a really beautiful connecting experience with my kids. I've noticed this with my 9-year-old the most. I've had it with all my kids, but right now with my 9-year-old. So we will be making plans to go somewhere, and I'll ask him if he wants to go, and he'll say, well, actually, it isn't even the, do you want to go? It's like, we're like doing something as a family, or we're going somewhere with somebody, or school. So I'm going to use school as an example here, but it's happened with friends. It's happened a couple other times. It's happened with some sports, but I'm going to use school as an example. So he'll say, I don't want to go to school. Like, no, I'm not going. And instead of, a lot of me just wants to push through, like, I see you don't want to go and we're going. And if it's right before school, that's all I can do, right? We just do that.
Right.
And that's, and it's okay. However, when I know there's enough time, so say even if there's 5 minutes and we're not like leaving out the door, what I've started doing is I stop what I'm doing. And this is such a cool formula for me, because it's what we've been talking about. We've been doing this podcast, guys, for 4 years, and it is what I have been talking about, what I've been learning about from books. And my kids have, I mean, they're 4 years older than they were. I'm in an entirely different stage than I was before, but this still applies to my 9-year-old. It's the same thing that it did when he was one, the same formula. And what I have started doing, especially lately, because they've been going through some transitions, I will go over to him and I'll sit down by him, like get my face on the same level as his face, just like you do when you kneel in front of a toddler. But he's 9 now, so we're sitting on the couch, right? Or wherever it is. But this, it's so beautiful. I'm bidding for connection, right? I'm coming up to him and I'm saying, I hear you don't want to go to school. Can you tell me why? And almost always the first answer to that question is, I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't want to. And then I'll say, go deeper. Okay, tell me what you're feeling inside of yourself. Is there something about school that you're not looking forward to? And sometimes he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll be like, yeah, my teacher, you know, like, I can't find my math notebook. And I know that since I still can't find it today during math, I kind of am worried my teacher's going to get mad at me or whatever, you know? Or there's still a lot of times where he's like, no, I just don't like it or whatever, you know? But what I'm saying is, my goal is to hear him. And my goal is for him to feel really, really understood why. And the interesting thing is, he's still going to go to school, right? Like, we're still going to do the school thing. However, after he explains it, And then I'll say, okay, so what feeling does that make you feel? And we'll be able to identify it. That feels like nervousness and it feels like it's in my stomach. Or I feel like a squeeze in my heart or whatever. If I can help him name the emotion that he's feeling and then actually help him identify it in his body. And as I say this, sometimes this works really well and other times you just get a bunch of I don't knows, honestly. But it's the exercise that's so helpful. And then the cool thing is you can say something like, going to school is really important, so we're still going to go, but I just want you to know that I see you and I hear you. And that feeling of, this actually happened with my daughter the other day. She wasn't ready for a math test, so she didn't want to go to school. And I was like, that feeling of not feeling prepared, it stinks. Like, I get that feeling. But what you're doing right now is you're training your brain that even when you feel that feeling, it's just a feeling and you can get through it. So you can still face that math test. But if you want to get out, your brain is like, I don't like this feeling. I don't like this feeling. The way to get relief is not to go to school, right? It's to not go to that class.
Right.
But then the tricky thing is, next time you feel that, it knows that it got relief last time it didn't go. And so you're going to think your brain's going to think the only answer is ditching class, right? And in 20 years of school, that's not going to serve you. So I actually want you to get used to that feeling of, yeah, this is an uncomfortable feeling, but it's just a feeling and I can still face it. You know, I can still face the thing and go through, because then you're training your neural pathway. So I'll explain that to my kids. Like, this is what you're feeling. And this is why I think it's important that you're still going to go. And it's okay. It's just a feeling. And I want you to know that I am with you in this feeling. And it's been really powerful and sweet for me as I've been doing this concept with my children. When they say no to something, going to something, when I have the time again. Because there's been a few times, there was one time with a friend situation that I thought I was like making him go to something that was really great. And when he finally opened up about why he didn't want to go, it was actually a really valid reason why. And I was like, thank heavens I took the time to ask you instead of just forcing you. Like, it was a really, really important reason that he wasn't even going to say. He was just saying no. And I could have just forced him. But I'm so glad that I asked him about it, because it was like a valid, like, oh, okay, well, yeah, yes, then I support you in that. So I guess my next layer here, so recap, with no's, toddlers, you accept that it's a normal part of their development, you acknowledge what they're feeling, you offer choices when you can, and you just simply continue with the momentum of the activity, and eventually they're going to join back in. They're going to learn that that's what we do as our family. Or if it's something like getting in the car and they're small, you can gently pick them up with no anger and gently buckle them in, speaking what you're doing the whole time. We're still going to go to grandma's. I'm going to pick you up gently. I'm going to put you in your car seat. Okay, I see you don't want to be buckled up, but I'm still going to do it. And you keep going, right? So those are your options when they're small. But I guess my invitation is, as your children get over, when there is time, to start asking the why questions. What are you feeling? Where are you feeling it? How can I help you? And then we actually breathe into the feeling. We do a whole exercise. Maybe I'll do an episode on that, what we do. Because we have like a whole thing, as my kids are bigger and they're feeling really big emotions about stuff. We identify that and we actually allow that emotion to process. And some of my really beautiful connecting moments as a parent has come from that, when I actually take the time to get down on their level and ask them where that no is coming from. And a lot of times it doesn't change the end result, but it does allow for connection, and it makes them feel seen and heard. And hopefully, if it is something they still have to do, it helps them understand why, what the goal is for their brain. So those are my tips for little and then as they get bigger.
Well, as you were speaking, I love all those examples, because it's true. It's like, this isn't just like a one-time deal when your kid says no. It's like, this might look differently as your kids get older. It might manifest a little bit differently. But I think I think two things that came to my mind as you were speaking was, I mean, first of all, a lot of times when our kids say no, in whatever form that comes, it's a bid for autonomy. So like we talked about before, where it's like, especially as a 2-year-old, they're learning like, oh, there's power to this word. And like, I'm kind of having this burgeoning independence. I'm like, I can say no. And what happens, you know? So, and I love that what you said and what Janet Lansbury says too, that it's like, this is actually a really healthy and normal thing. And you're right. You nailed it on the head, that it's like, it takes a lot of the pressure off. And it's like, this doesn't mean my kid is defiant. It doesn't mean like, there's not something wrong here. This is actually really normal. And that's okay. And it does. It takes off some of that, like, almost like the stress that sometimes comes with, I think, that like some of the bags that weighs around it, that it's like, nope, this is totally normal. And we don't have to be rattled by it. And that also doesn't mean that we need to give into it either. Like, two things can be true at once. Like, we can accept that they are saying their independence. So I love that you brought up, I think the way I see it is like, yeah, there's a couple of different ways that we can approach it. Like, giving them some options is always a great one. And sometimes, like, worst case scenario, it is just like, okay, like, I'm going to help you do it. But you're right, with the cleaning up thing, it's like, you can't always force them to do it. I think the other thing that I love that you said, because it's like, the first thing is like, a lot of times it can be a bid for autonomy, which I think there's something with that that's really beautiful about them learning and growing. And I love that what you said too, is that it's like, it can also just be a bid for connection, like, a lot of times. And if we see it in that way of like, I think that's something, as you were speaking, I was thinking about different things that have happened with my 4-year-old and 2-year-old of like, sometimes what I would say is like, quote unquote, annoying behaviors of some kind where I'm like, why are we doing this? Or like, what's happening? Like, for instance, so this is different than the saying no thing, but as you were talking, I was thinking, when we almost see it, like, I was thinking about a couple of examples that have happened recently where at first I'm like, oh, this is kind of annoying. Like, why are you doing this? And when I kind of have the mindset shift, and I feel like I had it in the moment with some of these examples, but like, where it was like, this is just a bid for connection. And I saw it that way. It like changed away. It changed my energy around approaching it. That it was like, I think he just needs like a little bit of like love, attention, whether that's like physically me holding him or just like just acknowledging him. Cause you know, like, I was busy doing something, and sometimes it's like, okay, we're on our way out the door. But when we take a minute to actually like connect in, it can really make a big difference. Like, I was thinking about that, like with getting shoes on, it's like, no, I don't want to. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to, but sometimes it's like, if you do have the time, and sometimes it really is like, you got to get out the door or whatever it is. So if you can have the time, like taking that time to just be present with them. Cause I think sometimes in these moments, we are also kind of like rushed, at least for me, when I'm thinking about it, it's like, I got to get out the door cause we got to be here to do this. But when we take a minute to like connect in, for you, it was like having that conversation with your kid. If they're littler, like, it might just be like being present with them and like maybe holding them for a minute because they are feeling like it's rushed. I don't know. Sometimes that can make a big difference in the whole energy of the situation, which then makes everything a lot easier if they feel like seen and heard. So I love that you said that because I feel like it can be a bid for autonomy, but it also can just be a bid for connection. And when we can maybe think about it in that way, I think it changes around how we also see the behavior, which I think is helpful. One other thing that I was going to say, and again, I haven't quite done it with my 2-year-old because I don't know how logically he would take it, but I know that at least with Emmett, and I'm trying to think at like what point this really worked, but like instead of like a bribe or a threat of like, well, if you don't do this, then you're not going to get this. Cause I think that's really tempting where it's like, well, you will clean up. Like, I'm not going to clean up this. Like, in my mind, I start to be like, well, I'm not going to clean up this mess. So if you don't do it, then we're not going to. But for me, I think, and Terilyn, you can say if you think this sounds like healthy, but I think something that has worked is usually like, it's like, okay, we're going to clean up because we're going, usually it's because we're going somewhere fun. It's like, we're going to the park to be with cousins, or we're going to grandma and papa's house or something. Or like if it's like before dinner or something, I don't know. It's like something that we all want. And it's instead of being like, no, you have to, or like, you won't be able to go to the park. Like, instead of almost like a threat, it's just, for me, it's like a reframing of like, okay, I hear that you don't want to clean up. Once we've cleaned up, then we're going to go to the park and play with cousins. Like, it's not necessarily like a, we won't do it if you don't do this. It's just like,
you're not going to follow through on that, right? Because that's not something it's like, you want. So yeah,
totally. It's like, I want to go. So, yeah, exactly. I think it's just like a, hey, once we get this all cleaned up, then we can go do this, or then we can have lunch, or then we can have whatever it is that you have. And sometimes it's hard, obviously. I actually try not to have cleanup before bedtime. Cause then for me, at least, there's not like, well, once you get cleaned up, we're going to go to bed. It's like, then I don't know. It doesn't really work the same. Like, they're like, well, I don't want to go to bed, so why would I do it? So actually, like, me personally, I feel like I do try to keep, like, I'll try to do a cleanup before dinner. And then there is playtime after, but I also feel like me or Cam is usually like, we're all usually together. So it's not like this big giant mess. It's like, oh, we got out something, or we're like playing, if it's warm outside, we're playing outside. So it's a little bit different. I try not to have like a big cleanup right before bed, just because simply I don't have the energy to like maintain that. And I don't feel like there's anything after that I can be like, once we're done cleaning up, then we get to do this. I don't know. It feels a little bit different. So yeah. I try not to do that. So at least for me, those are some things that that's something that's helped. It doesn't feel like a bribe or a threat. It doesn't feel like a coercive thing. It's just simply like matter of fact, which the way I see it too, it's helpful because like for our kids throughout life, even when they're not with us, there's going to be things where it's like they're going to need to do things that they don't want to do. And part of that is like, they won't be able to do the next thing until they do it. So I think it's also just like teaching a healthy skill of like, yeah, like once we do this, then we can then move on to the next thing. So anyway, so those are some things that I think too has helped me. And I think with my 2-year-old, I haven't quite like maybe logically done that with him. Cause again, this has only been like a pretty recent thing. And I also have Emmett who's like cleaning. He has been cleaning up too. So it's like, we are kind of still doing the cleanup and I'm like, hey, once we do this, then we get to go here. And I think Will has like, yeah, either gone away with like, he'll still kind of play while we're cleaning up. But I do try to involve him. I like the idea of like, hey, let's be diggers and let's put all the blocks in here. So like making it still fun because I do want it to still be like a positive thing. I don't want it to feel yucky. But anyway, I liked a lot of things that you said. And I feel like definitely, I don't know. I feel like I had some thoughts during that. There, I was like, okay, I can look at this as a way of number one, him wanting autonomy. And number two, I think sometimes it can be like just connection. And I think connection is like what it always seems to come back to. So if we can see it in that way and almost like approach it from that standpoint, I think it makes a world of difference, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%. Okay. Well, we hope you guys have, I think this whole concept of kids saying no is something that we all face. And I mean, you can really carry this concept, what this means through any age. But I think it's really a honor that we have as parents to be the first. We're the first ones our children practice no on, you know? So there. And the cool thing about it, as we model respect to them, I think that it gives them respect for their own no, really. Because as you get older, right? Like my teenager at this point, I mean, she's 15. And she really doesn't ever do what like my toddlers do. Like she's never like, no, I'm not going to help clean up. She, because we've modeled it enough, I think we underestimate sometimes how just modeling is. We're not forcing, we just keep modeling. We say we're still doing it and we just keep cleaning up, you know? So she at this point is never like, I mean, I can't, it's probably been years and years and years since she said, no, I'm not going to. Like she just does it. We're tidying. She may not like it, but she just does it. She's now getting to the point though, where I love it because I can really, it's more like a trust. Like I trust you with your no. When she says no to me, it's something that's really important to her. Right. So even as toddlers, when they're saying no to stuff, we're like, well, you're still going to do it. Right. And that's good. That's healthy because they're saying no to everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I think the concept of still treating them with respect as you do it is setting up for a lot of respect later in life. Because as an adult, I expect people to honor my no's, you know, because I'm not doing it over dumb things like, no, I'm not going to help. I'm not going to throw away that plate for you. You know what I mean? Because the cool thing is you model, they're not going to be adults who are doing that, right? They're going to be past all the like dumb stuff, but still be to a point where they at least expect respect for it. And I think just by honoring their feelings and still even going through the stuff, we're still getting in the car, even though you're not, you can still do that with lots and lots of respect. So I think around this word, no, and that's just probably my favorite thing to remember is that we're setting up a blueprint, at least for respect, you know, so that those no's, I think honoring ourselves and our own no's is really important too. So that's something, I think it's an honor. We get our children's first no's. We get to show them with respect that they still sometimes just have to do stuff they don't want to do. Sure. Yes, definitely. But that we're still going to be really respectful to them during that, you know? Okay. So we hope this is helpful. Let us know if you have any questions or examples that you're trying this out in your life. You can find us on Instagram at Find the Magic Podcast. I am also on Instagram, but my handle might be changing. So I'm going to not even say my handle. Caitlin is Caitlin. What are you? Caitlin.
I'm at Katie Jean Gabriel. And we'll have them. It's also in the email if you're unsure.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, we hope to hear from you guys. We hope that you find this helpful. And let's go out and find the magic.
Me, 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 me. Brown cows.